And it has nothing to do with political parties. It has to do with what he is doing in our nation. And after Wednesday night, I had someone discussing the message with me from another state, because there are people who catch what we're doing on the internet with live streaming and other things. And they said, do you remember a prophecy from 07? Oh, they said from 06. And I said, no. And they said, you can catch it at the archives through Charisma Magazine. And when I found the prophecy, it was actually from 07. But I've had the sound booth set this up because I want you to see it. And I want you to pay attention to what it says, that a financial breakthrough is coming for the body of Christ. It also prophesied in 2007 what I told you 18, 19 months ago. When there were 17 candidates for president, I said, after prayer, God said that Donald Trump would be the next president of the United States. Now, the last week or so, I've had people calling me saying, with all this recount stuff and the Russians and all these other things coming in, how is that going to affect it? And I said, not at all, because God did not say he'd be elected. He said he would be president. And get ready for it, he will serve two terms. But I want you to hear this prophecy of what God was saying in 2007, before he was a candidate. In 2007, he had put forth an exploratory team to see if he should run. And seeing that another billionaire was running, he backed away and let him make a run at it. But then he had a meeting with a number of Christian leaders, Kenneth Copeland, many others that I could tell you about, met together with him at Trump Tower and prayed with him and said, God is saying it's time for you to run. And so after prayer with many of the Christian leaders, he threw his hat in the ring, and I told you what God said, that he would be president. So I want to share this prophecy with you, if y'all would go ahead and run that.
This that shall take place shall be the most unusual thing, a transfiguration, a going into the marketplace, if you wish, into the news media, where Time Magazine will have no choice but to say what I want them to say. Newsweek, what I want to say. The View, what I want to say. Shall become a trumpet, says the Lord. Trump shall become a trumpet. I will raise up the Trump to become a trumpet, and Bill Gates to open up the gate of a financial realm for the church, says the Lord. One, but I will fool the people, says the Lord. I will fool the people. Yes, I will. God says, the one that is chosen shall go in, and they shall say, he has hot blood. For the Spirit of God says, yes, he may have hot blood, but he will bring the walls of protection on this country in a greater way, and the economy of this country shall change rapidly, says the Lord of hosts. Listen to the word of the Lord. God says, I will put at your helm for two terms a president that will pray, but he will not be a praying president when he starts. I will put him in office, and then I will baptize him with the Holy Spirit and my power, says the Lord of hosts. Come on!
Don't ever look at things the way they are. Look at the way God said they can be. So look for a two-term president who gets filled with the Holy Spirit, and prayer meetings can occur in the White House once again. When Jim Baker was the Secretary of State, his wife was a spirit-filled, tongue-talking believer, and they had some powerful prayer meetings in the White House. We can have it again. They say that Mr. Trump is hot-blooded, and that prophecy says yes. But sometimes you got to have somebody with a temper to get things rolling. Don't lift the man. Donald Trump is just a vessel that God is using. But I thought it amazing after Bill Gates was opposed to Donald Trump when he was one of the 17 candidates. This week he visited the White House to discuss financial policy for the U.S. Not the White House, he visited Trump Tower. So that prophecy about Bill Gates being used, well, he's a multi-billionaire and he's a very secular guy. Yeah, but we have a very powerful God who can, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord and he can turn it where he wills. We've prophesied that in this church for years. Get ready for the greatest financial breakthrough that you've ever seen. 2016 is a time of miracles, signs, and wonders because our God has done a miracle. He has done a sign. He has done a wonder that affects our entire nation, not just House of the Lord, but the entire nation. And I want you to get excited about the days ahead. God, you've got something going on. And begin to pray that the fulfillment of this prophetic word, that he is filled with the Holy Spirit, he becomes a praying president. And he will. Yes. And because God said it, it will come to pass. Yes. What he is today doesn't matter. It's what God's bringing him to be. If you've got your notes, I look forward to this evening when we come together. I'll thank all the people who stay after the assembly this morning to set up the tables for tonight. Thank you in advance for your hard labor, and for the people who will stay afterward and come early to decorate the tables and get everything ready for tonight. And for all of you who have labored in the kitchen, preparing food and getting stuff ready for our gluttonous appetites, for us to fellowship together with. Thank you. Wednesday night we began to share with you from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It got typed up wrong. For a child will be born to us. A child will be born to us. A son will be given to us. I don't know why I'm ringing, but maybe I'll calm down. I want you to look at that line. A son will be given to us. The birth of our Lord was a gift. And he came as a babe in a manger to start life the same way we do. Then he had the problems of adolescence, and he had to grow up. But he was the Word walking, the Word talking, the Word demonstrating how the Word would handle every situation and problem of life. God gave us the Old Testament, the law, and we had trouble relating to it because we couldn't see. It was our enemy. It kept us from doing all the things we really wanted to do. It restricted our movements and our pleasure. And so he encapsulated the Word into a human gift. The Word became clothed with flesh and took up residence, dwelt among us, so that we could see how the Word would handle an argument, a trial, a test, a financial need, how it would handle a storm, how it would handle accusations, how it would handle being despised and rejected. I think I'm getting worse rather than better. Okay. Lord, heal my ears. But God gave him as a gift to us individually so we could observe the Word in normal, everyday life, dealing with and overcoming the problems and situations so we would know how to do it. We would know to put the Word on every situation. He said, in the government, and I added of the kingdom because that's the government he's going to rule, not the U.S., not China, not Russia, not Israel. The government of the kingdom will rest upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. A son was given to us to teach us the way to live, to show us the way to interact with the world situations. We are of the kingdom of God, but we're in the earth. So we are in the world, but not of the world. Because the world around us would like to keep the Word silent. The devil wants to tell you, don't say that. Don't let your religion out there in front. Well, we don't have religion. We have the Word of life. And when you speak the Word of life, it will change a situation. On Wednesday nights, for several years now, we have been making a declaration over our nation. You are now seeing the fruit of your declaration come to pass as our nation is being changed by the words of your mouth. A gift from Father God, a kingdom son, who would be a revelation to us of how God wants us to live. A guide of how to apply the Word in our everyday situations. The Son of Man is referred to 88 times in the New Testament. As you read the New Testament, you'll find Son of Man 88 times. The title was not exclusive to our Lord, for Ezekiel was referred to as the Son of Man 93 times in Scripture. But there is an element of the life of Christ in the life of Ezekiel. They were both individuals who lived the Word and walked in revelation from God. But the messianic title of our Lord started in prophecy. Every time the Lord Jesus said, the Son of Man, all the elders of the church, all of the people who had been taught the Scriptures, knew what he was saying, because Daniel had prophesied that the Son of Man was coming, Ben-Adam. I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a Son of Man was coming. He came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. He was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away. His kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. As God begins to establish his kingdom in the earth, perhaps through you and through those around you, it'll be an everlasting kingdom that will not be destroyed. It will not see ruin. Daniel recorded a messianic prophecy of the coming of the Lord as the Son of Man. He didn't come as God. He came as the Son of Man. I asked Daddy what that meant, and he said, Adam was the first Son of God. But his treason cut him off. And so I sent a Son of Man. He is your son to show you your way, to teach you your ability, to demonstrate for you your power and potential. The gift of our Lord was a gift of revelation of how we should be, how we could be, how we can be. A babe in a manger? Yes. But if I came by your house and you were holding a seed and you said to me, this seed right here will produce a rose bush and it can have beautiful yellow roses. All of that's locked inside this little seed. I'm so excited to have this seed. And I go to you, well, what are you going to do with it? Are we keeping the seed of revelation captive? A babe in a manger, that's the seed. The seed of Adam, the seed of God, the seed of the Word, the everlasting seed, the incorruptible seed. But it has to be put into the earth. And it has to grow up to produce the fruit of the Word. That's what God intends for you. Get your mind off of babe in a manger. That was the seed that God gave. But that seed planted in the earth began to grow and it began to produce miracles, signs, wonders, the will of God in manifestation, the joy of the Lord in demonstration. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. This is not an altar call scripture. Because it doesn't say them, it says that. What was lost? Our sonship with God was cut off in Adam. Our lifeline to the heavenly throne was cut off in Adam. But he came to save that which was lost. And it's been restored in the gift of a son. Our son. He belongs to us. Because in receiving him as a son, we become a son. When we understand what he did to demonstrate the Father's great love, grace, and mercy. Sonship was cut off in Adam through his treason. Messiah came to plug us back up to the Father and heavenly rule. Today, you have sonship authority if you have received him as Lord of your life. Not just Savior, not just forgiver of sins. There's too many people getting saved and not enough people getting born again. God gave us a son so that we could understand sonship. The way he walked, the way he talked, the way he demonstrated. That which was lost was the divine connection, the family of God bloodline. Today, if you are a born-again child of God, you have heavenly blood flowing in your veins. You have a divine lineage. You're a part of the house of God. You have a heritage of all that God is and all that God wants to do. Our Lord, our Redeemer, is also our gift from God, a gift of love by which, through which, and in which we are to grow in likeness. As he is, so are you in the world. How is he? He is the Son of God, seated at the right hand of the Father, in power and in authority. How are you? I'm sick. I'm tired. I'm broke. I'm lonely. No, you've accepted the wrong reality. You've accepted an alternate reality. The reality is, Roger, I'm the healed of the Lord. The reality is, Ethel, I am blessed above comprehension. The reality is, Wanda, I can do all things through the anointing that infuses me with divine ability. And it's no different from any child of God. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. Do you believe it? He took the dead word off of the page and lived it in everyday life. Showing that the word in your life is greater than the problems that beset you in life. The Son of Man is a prophetic title. It's a messianic title. Every time he said Son of Man, every Jew knew he was saying, I am Messiah. I am the Son of God. We see the phrase Son of Man and we think, he's just talking. No. He's referring to Daniel's prophecy. And every time he said it, he was saying to them, this is it. This is the Son of God. This is the lineage of God in the earth. It's also a descriptive pronouncement of identity between God and man and the Word. The Son of Man was the Son of God, who is the gift of God to us to demonstrate the Word being applied to everyday life. The Son of Man is a gift, a revelation, an example, a walking, talking, doing representation of the Word of truth in action. When you put the Word to work in your life, the Word will promote you to sonship. What's the difference between someone who's saved and someone who's a son of God? Someone who is saved has all their hope in glory. Someone who is born again has all their hope in today. I'm not waiting to escape and get a reward someday. I've got a reward today. I'll never be broke another day in my life. Death can't take me. Sickness can't hold me. Worry can't captivate me. We receive Him as Lord. We embrace Him as Savior and King, but we experience Him in His sonship. The way He walked, you can write it in yourself, is the way I am to walk. The way He talked, that's the way I am to talk. The deeds He did are the deeds that I am to do. All of this belongs to us as our heritage, but also it's our license to duplicate. If He did it, you can do it. The works that I do shall you do in greater works. So everything that He did is a portrayal of how you are to do it. When I was a child, I would watch the Lone Ranger, Hopalong Cassidy, Bob Steele. I'd watch the different characters, and then I'd go to my room and I'd put on my cowboy hat and I'd strap on my six guns and we'd go out in the backyard and we would reenact what we saw. When I go to my covenant, it's so that I can reenact what I saw. Hands shall lay and wellness shall be. You'll cast out devils. You'll speak with new tongues. If they try to poison you, it won't work because you're not subject to life in earth's power. You have inherited life in God's power. But if you don't know it, you don't show it. If you don't understand it, you won't walk it. Our Lord Jesus was the mirror. And when we look into Him doing this, we can see us doing this. When we look into Him doing that, we can see us doing that. And the more we meditate on it, the stronger it rises within us, and the more we become empowered. I don't need a babe in a manger. That was the seed. It's what He grew into that I need. And God so perfectly understood our inability to identify with the law that He clothed the Word with flesh and said, here's how the law of God operates in the earth. Wind be still. Dead, rise. Demons, go. Sick, come forth. Stand upright on your feet and walk. Why? Because the divine connection had been reestablished, and the flow of divine blood was in his stream, just like it's in yours. It's not a fairy tale when I say to you, the works that he did shall you do. But don't walk out today and stop at a funeral and try and raise the dead. Start as a beginning point. Can you believe God for a pair of socks? Then you can grow into believing for a pair of shoes. Can you believe God for gas to get to church? Then you can believe God for gas to get anywhere. Are you listening, church? Sometimes you need to close your wallet and just believe God for something extra. Sometimes just for the fun of it, I'm going to believe you for an extra $500 this week. I remember what I used to believe God for an extra $5. But I've seen God supply when I needed $5, and I've seen God supply when I needed $3 million. My God is not a respecter of persons. I've seen God supply when I needed deliverance from aspirin. I don't get headaches. And I'm going to get to the place I don't get anything. But can you start with a headache and believe God for that? Too many people are trying to believe God for the deep end of the pool, and they've never waded in the shallow end. You got to learn to dog paddle. You got to learn to float. You don't just dive in the first time and start swimming. Unless you had a father like mine who picked me up and threw me into a lake and said, now get to the shore. That was called crash swimming lessons. But most of us start out just the way the Son of Man did. In a manger, dependent on its surroundings until it grew to rule over its surroundings. Church, do you get it? Pastor, I need. So did he. When he came into the earth, he needed someone else to change his diaper. He needed someone else to feed him. He needed someone else to help him walk. But he grew into a point where he could say, rise, take up your bed and walk. Are you growing into the Word? We read, growing in grace, going from faith to faith, from grace to grace. We go, yes, that's a nice bumper sticker. I'm going to put that on my car. But do we understand it? That we all have to start someplace. And line upon line, precept upon precept. Some of us have never believed God for a headache. And so when cancer shows up, we're totally helpless. Some of us have never believed God. I'm just going to believe God for lunch today. I've had money for lunch, but I believe that my God is going to supply lunch today. Well, Pastor, I tried that once and it didn't work. When you were just a runt, you appreciated that diaper, whether you knew it or not, because that was padding, because every time you tried to walk, you bounced on your butt. And the diaper was there to protect you. It provided padding. But there was a time when you quit bumping your butt and you stayed on your feet. But falling was a part of walking. Don't be a stupid idiot. I tried faith and it didn't work. Reminds me of people who say, I don't go to church because my parents made me go to church when I was a kid. They made you go to the bathroom. Did you give that up? They made you eat. They made you sleep. Did you give that up? Faith is a growth process. Sonship is a growth process. Demonstrating God's presence takes practice. Be proud of the butt bumps you get in life. God said it this way, a good man falls down 7 times, but he gets up 8. I tried to believe God for healing once, and it didn't work. So I tried again and again until not only does it work for me, but now it works for other people. Because not only can I believe God for my healing, I can believe for other people's healing also. But don't be trying laying hands on the sick if you've never taken authority in your life. Well, Pastor Jim, I'm going to believe God for $1 million. Have you believed God for a month's rent yet? Well, Pastor Jim, how many times do I have to believe God for a month's rent and not get it? I don't know. It depends on how encumbered you are by stupidity. Some people walk into the wall 8 times before they realize that wall isn't moving. For other people, they walk into it once and they remember. How are you in life? Are you an 8-timer or a 1-timer? That'll tell you what it's going to take with your faith. Well, Pastor, I see somebody over here and they just believe God. And it happened. You ain't them. You got to believe God where you are, not where they are. And don't get hurt because you walked into the wall 7 times. Maybe by 8 or 10, you'll figure out the wall ain't moving and you'll grow up. But church, it's a part of the process. The devil wants to lie to you and say, you know, you tried believing God that one time. Thank you for reminding me, devil. I'm going to try it again. And I'm going to get it down. Because all things are possible to them that believe. It doesn't say all things are possible to them that believe the first time. Some of us are more carnal than others. We start a new song, and some people, the first time you sing it, by the time you're through it one time, they're singing it like they've known it their whole life. Other people have got to sing it 8 or 10 times and get a cheat sheet and carry around with them so they can get it down. But the thing is, if you get it down to where you can do it, that's what matters. Right. Having done all to stand means something different to every one of us. Because to some of us, having done all to stand is, I read the word, that's it, it's settled, and I ain't changing. To others, having done all to stand is, I didn't get it yesterday, but I'm going to be back at it today. And if I don't get it today, I'm going to be back at it tomorrow because I know when is available to me. It's just how far down in unbelief I started, and I have to dig my way out to believe. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Now, this can be very mysterious, and it can be very simple. Brother Jim, I've prayed, and I've prayed, and I've prayed, and I just don't hear God. He's not telling me what to do. I ask him, do I go left? And he don't tell me. I say, God, do I go right? And he doesn't tell me. I don't know what to do. Well, did you start at the beginning? Very few people are capable of hearing God at a revelatory level. That's why you start off hearing God here. With His stripes you were healed. Can you hear that? Then you're being led by the Spirit of God if you act on it. How do I know if I'm being led by the Spirit of God? Do you act on what He said? Whether He said it in the book or in your spirit, do you act on it? If you don't, you're not being led. But I don't have to have God say, Jim, rise up and walk. I can read in the Word. I ain't going to let this thing keep me down. I'm going to rise above it. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. What's the difference between being saved and being a son of God? Saved people are waiting for God to do it. Sons are doing it. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again. Oh, I'm just terrified of what God will do if I don't do the right thing. He didn't call you to be a slave. He calls you to be a son. But you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy, God. You know, there's people that's been in church all their life and they can't say Daddy, God. They're still afraid of lightning getting them. I wouldn't know what to do if my son came up and said, Most beloved Father of mine, wilt thou now allow me to have a glass of water? No, he walks in and says, Pop, I'm getting something out of the freezer. That's sonship. That other thing, I don't know what that is. You've received a spirit of adoption. A spirit of adoption. A spirit of adoption. But you got to act on it. Otherwise, you're estranged. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then we have an opportunity to possess what an heir of God would possess. And to be a fellow heir with Christ, I have the same inheritance of power and authority as He did. Because He was the firstborn of many brethren, I'm the somewhere in the brethren born. If indeed we suffer with Him, so we may also be glorified with Him. Brother Jim, do I have to go to the cross like He did? No, that's not the suffering it's talking about. This is in the context of living the Word, and He had to suffer stupidity. How long will I be with you? Why are you crying? I'm fixing to raise Lazarus from the dead. Have I been so long with you and yet you know me not? When you start living the Word, you got to suffer. Because nobody around you understands why you're healing the sick, raising the dead, and casting out devils. They hold you at a distance because you're different. Wear it as a badge. I'm different. I'm a son of God. I'm an heir and joint heir with Christ Jesus. I watched the seed grow up, and now I'm living in that fruit. He came as a babe in a manger in a portrayal of identity with us so that we could watch Him grow into sonship, depicting an example of us to follow. Let the babe out of the manger so the son can rule in your heart. He came as a seed, but He was planted in the earth and He grew up. You receive that same seed of sonship. And now it's time to grow up and do the works that He did. 2017 is going to be a turnaround year. A year of God manifesting in ways you've never seen Him manifest. Whether you recognize it or not, this last presidential election was a demonstration that God is saying, I can still fool the people that thought they were in charge, that thought they had it all figured out, that thought they could make anything happen their way, and right in their faces, I did it. If he can do that with a nation, what can he do with your bank account? If he can do that with a nation, what can he do with your kids? If he can do that with our nation, what can he do with the problems and trials and tests of your life? There are but a few lines of scripture on his infancy and childhood, but there's four books on his life of sonship. Why do we want to concentrate on one or two chapters of the Bible when there are four books that show us sonship? Walking and talking and demonstrating and doing and being. Because he's alive, you're alive. Because he grew up, you can grow up. Realize what God was doing when he sent a babe in a manger. He was introducing to us a starting point. But it didn't stop there. The gift wasn't the babe in the manger. It was what the babe can become. Your gift to you is not that you're saved, but what you can become as a son of God, as an heir and joint heir. There's a world waiting to receive your testimony. There's a world waiting to hear what your God has done in your life. There's a world in need of your example. Will you live it? Will you be it? Every day you should say, God is good. Yeshua is Lord. Satan was defeated in the resurrection. Now I am empowered to enforce his defeat and demonstrate the resurrection triumph over death, hell, the grave, and everything that tried to keep the word from winning. God has a plan. I said, God has a plan for your authority and your growth and your development. Will you walk in that plan? Will you talk in that plan? Will you demonstrate the life that he's called you to? If you're present today and you need prayer in any area, there'll be ministers waiting to pray with you, to agree with you, to stand with you. Don't be ashamed of being at a starting point, but continue to say to yourself, the word may be a seed in me today, but it'll be a deed in me tomorrow. The word may be a seed in me today, but it'll be a deed in me tomorrow, because I'm growing into sonship. He had to grow up. I'm going to grow up. He didn't come out of the womb laying hands on the sick. And you're not going to come out of salvation laying hands on the sick and change the world, but you can grow into it. Did you get anything today? Yes. Daddy God, your word is life unto them that find it, and medicine unto all their flesh. Father, I thank you that day by day, moment by moment, we're growing into the likeness of your first son as we become the son you've called us to be. Father, open our eyes to see fully your will and plan and purpose. As we open the book of life, may that life permeate our entire being until we are the word walking. We are the word talking. We are the word demonstrating triumph over the world's feeble attempts to contain. I refuse to be contained by anything that tries to contain me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and I will live in victory and demonstrate the triumph of resurrection victory. And the people said, amen. See you tonight at what time? 6 o'clock tonight. I'll be looking for you. It is allowable to bring your appetite.
Had a doctor appointment.
We need your help in setting up the chairs and putting out the tables.